CQ, 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 and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the show that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7, LPW.
CQ, 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 and welcome to another edition of Ham Radio and More. I'm Len Winkler, KB7, LPW. And today's show brought to you in part by MFJ Enterprises, Edcom Electronic Distributors, and Exotic Research Report. Our phone number, 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. Those of you listening to us on shortwave tape delayed, want you to know that you can certainly listen also via Real Audio Computer live on the internet, on the web. And if you, instead of giving a long address, it's if you just go to our station in Portland's page, which is kbnp.com, so www.kbnp.com. From there, you can easily click to get to the live feed of Ham Radio and More, which, of course, is at, for this week, the last week, 2200 UTC Sundays. Of course, next week, the times change, and it'll be 2300 UTC starting October the 27th. Again, our phone number is 1-800-293-5366. If you want to send a fax, it's area code 602-241-1540. Today, my guest is going to be Sherry and Gene Harlan from Cyberham Magazine. It's a new magazine, and it actually puts together the internet, computers, and ham radio. And let's see how we can all survive together. And we'll have them right after our first break. So we're also going to give away a couple of subscriptions if people want. We have a couple of subscriptions available to this new interesting magazine, Cyberham. And those of you listening on Real Audio, I know it's a little tricky because if you only have one line, it's hard to disconnect and call us. But if you want, we will take some calls and give away some subscriptions a little bit later. 1-800-293-5366. We'll be back with Sherry and Gene after this. You want to know more about HARP? Is it a friend or a foe? How about forbidden cancer cures, herbs, and how to use them? How about weather control, the Gulf War syndrome, electromagnetic weapons, the internet, the new world order, alternative energy, alternative medicine, mind control technology, famine in our future, crop future skyrocketing, all this and more in Exotic Research Report. And you can get it at a discounted rate if you mention Ham Radio and More when you call 1-800-446-3465. That's right. Order a year's subscription of Exotic Research Report. Get an Exotic Research advisor. Ask them to send it to you free. It's fine. 1-800-446-3465. Amazing features. Find out about HARP. Find out the real inside information about HARP. 1-800-446-3465. Mention Ham Radio and More. 1-800-446-3465. This is information you have to have. 1-800-446-3465. Call now.
Here's a great offer from Internet World, the most widely read magazine for Internet users. Whether you're a beginner just logging on or an advanced user, Internet World will serve as your guide to the Internet. Every issue of Internet World brings you the latest hot sites on the Internet, tips on downloading free software like the hit game Doom, plus information-filled columns and fascinating interviews with Internet personalities. Internet World shows you how to do research on the Internet, shop online, play games, meet people with mutual interests, and much more. In short, Internet World gives you all the information you need to help you make the most of your time on the Internet. Internet World, the first and largest magazine devoted entirely to the Internet. New subscribers can now take advantage of this special introductory offer. 12 monthly issues for only $14.97. That's 75% off the newsstand price.
Call now, toll free, 800-706-7900. That's 800-706-7900.
Every new ham needs a personal tutor.
The MFJ 411 personal pocket-sized Morse code tutor will help you learn Morse code quickly and precisely. You can take it anywhere. It'll fit in your shirt pocket, take it with you in your car on an airplane. It's got an earphone jack for private use. No more cassettes, books, and computer disks. QST Magazine says the MFJ 411 is the clear choice for beginners. It's based on the ARRL method. Unlike code tapes, you'll never memorize it because the code sessions are random. You can replay it to check yourself. The MFJ 411 has speed adjustment from 5 to 60 words per minute, a 9-volt battery or 12-volt power supply selection, letters, numbers, random words, and QSOs, also learned by the famous Farnsworth method.
Your own personal Morse code tutor can be yours for the low retail price of $79.95.
Call 1-800-647-1800 for a catalog and dealer nearest you. That's 1-800-647-1800. MFJ Enterprises, the world leader in ham radio accessories, 1-800-647-1800.
CQ, CQ, this is Ham Radio and More.
All right, we're back to Ham Radio and More, 1-800-293-5366 in the Phoenix area. It's 230-2755, 230-2755. On the line we have Gene Harlan, WB9MMM. Now that's an easy call sign to remember, the publisher of Cyberham magazine. First licensed back in 73, he has an advanced class license. He also holds a general radio telephone operator license. And in 1992, people might be familiar with this, he released the program Slow Scan TV for the Sound Blaster. And it's actually one of the first amateur radio programs ever to use Sound Blaster's card for anything other than music for games. He's also a manager of technical support services for Arachnid Incorporated. He'll correct me, I'm sure. A company that makes electronics coin-operated games, the most popular being Mark Dart Electronic Dart Game. Well, welcome to Ham Radio and More, Gene.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Good.
And did I, how badly did I say the name of the company?
The name of the company is Arachnid.
Arachnid, okay.
As in the spider family.
All right. Are you able to speak up just a little bit? We're having kind of a quiet...
Sure. I can try to speak.
Ah, perfect.
Is that any better?
Yes, much better.
Good.
Okay, and you're the publisher of Cyberham. Let's just go back to how and why there is this magazine.
Well, there's definitely a need. It started out that... Sherry and I were looking for something actually for her to do, and it wasn't the intention that I would be quitting my job or anything, but we sat down and we just came up with an idea of the need that was out there. If we were going to do a magazine, what would we do? And there is nothing that really covers amateur radio and computers, and this is kind of how it started. Over the dinner table, I guess, passing ideas back and forth and finally coming up with, the idea of that there is no publication that covers this in its entirety.
Okay, well, how do you separate yourself like any of the other industry amateur radio magazines? I mean, certainly they're talking about Packet, or they're talking about Amtor, or RIDI, or the digital modes of some sort, and the satellites, and all that, of course, utilizes, in most cases, computers. How are you separate from them?
Well, I think we're trying to get into the subject a little bit heavier. We're going to talk, in some cases, strictly about computers. And the most part, it will be about the combination of the two hobbies. How ham radio is on the Internet. And the other magazines will carry maybe one article out of their whole publication, about something like this. And our whole idea is that each article is going to be a combination of, amateur radio and computers. Talking about, hams on CompuServe, how to do Linux, packet radio, as you mentioned, and SSTV and different things like that. So it's each and every article is pretty much going to have the two hobbies combined.
Now, I guess I might as well broach this subject even at the beginning of the interview here, and that is that I've talked about and I've had shows on the internet, about computers for from when I started this show 5.5 years ago. I've had the most complaints from callers, the most complaints on email, the most complaints on meeting people on a face-to-face basis saying, you talk too much about computers. You mention computers too much. There, you know, why talk about that? This is ham radio, and for you to keep bringing up computers, that's just not what we want to do. It's just a competition to amateur radio. Now, I don't agree, obviously, because if I did, I wouldn't have had shows about it. But what do you say?
Well, the only person or persons I've ever heard that from is some of the people that we have asked to do to advertise in the magazine. when we're out at Hamfest, and I think Sherry would agree that we're generally greeted with the comment. She uses it in her title for the editor's column on the first issue. It's about time. People will just, you know, like, stop, they'll think for a second, and they'll say, you know, well, it's about time that somebody came out with a magazine like this. And so I guess I can't say other than I think there is some apprehension from some of the manufacturers out there that I think, however, that there's room for the combination.
Well, and I don't understand what the apprehension even is. Now, I will admit, and at the Southwestern Division Convention last Sunday, Vince Thompson, K5VT, was a keynote speaker, and he basically said that, you know, there's no question that young people today have so many choices on what to get involved in, and amateur radio being just one of them, and it's so much easier to get on the internet and deal with computers. I mean, they teach computers in school at fifth grade, fourth grade, second grade level. I mean, they're teaching it. They certainly are not teaching amateur radio to that extent at all. So, you know, it could be looked at as competition. However, he said that if we ever want to get out of the and we want to grow, we don't want to die, we need to incorporate it into amateur radio and use internet and computers to attract people into amateur radio rather than to view this as a competitor.
And I totally agree with that. I think we do because, I mean, the manufacturers of the radios obviously have to agree because you wouldn't be seeing connections to computers on the backs of the radios if they didn't, you know, think that this was something that the hams would be interested in.
I just don't understand the backwardness of some ham radio operators to not want to. Ham radio is supposed to be new technology, and of course they've been at the forefront of bringing in new technology. Here, we need people that can utilize computers with amateur radio and put the two technologies together.
Right. I agree, and you will even see in the other magazines, I believe QST, one of their advertisements is for a program, I believe that they sell, which is designing things and everything, you know, having to do with amateur radio. They present it in a, you know, an amateur radio flavor, so it's obvious that each one of the different magazines that are out there are looking more and more at, you know, providing articles that are based on computers and so forth. Intend on doing it maybe a little bit more in depth than what they are.
Ignorance is to the destruction of us, not the blessing. You know, I mean, we really need to know who the competition is and incorporate it. And, of course, all the digital modes, you need a computer. And I don't know how many hams today that are really into amateur radio heavily at all don't have a computer in their shack. I'll bet you it's a small amount.
I know that some of the other magazines have quoted anywhere from 70 to 79% of their readership on polls that they've taken have computers. And I, of course, I would only suspect that 99.9% of ours does at this point.
Well, it would have to. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about CyberHam to Gene, and we invite your participation. And we have a couple of subscriptions to give away. 1-800-293-5366. We'll hear from you, and we'll talk to Gene when we get back.
Here's great news about how investing a little money can help you reap big rewards. Now, for a limited time, when you subscribe to Barron's for 13 weeks and use your credit card, you'll receive an extra 4 weeks free. That's 17 weeks of vital information to help you make smarter investment decisions. Every week, Barron's scours the investment world for growth opportunities with comprehensive coverage of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Everything at home and around the world that could affect your investments. Subscribe to Barron's today. Get the knowledge and insight you need to help you achieve your investment goals. Don't miss this great offer. 13 weeks for just $37, plus an extra 4 weeks free. That's 27% off the newsstand price. This offer is available to new subscribers only, so act now.
Call toll-free 800-228-8222. That's 800-228-8222 for Barron's. How money becomes wealth.
During radio's 75-year history, there were several ill-conceived shows. One such show was Dr. Antoine Sorbet, Radio Contortionist.
I will now bend my head between my legs, pushing the nose on my face up to touch my shoulder blades.
Richard Walton.
Now my left arm up between my chin and chest and grasp my right elbow. I will try that once more.
This show aside, you'll find virtually every other radio show and personality from radio's beginning to the present in Blast from the Past, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years by B. Eric Rhodes. 478 pages, over 900 rare photos make this book the nostalgia book of this year or any year.
I will now tuck the toe of my right foot under my left ear. I will try that once more.
The faces, the shows that make up radio's first 75 years, Blast from the Past.
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500, $39.99 plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
When is a good time to subscribe to the National Business Employment Weekly? When you remember happier days at work, when you're afraid that layoffs are coming, or when you'd like to try a whole new career. In fact, anytime you'd like to get ahead, earn more money, or start your own business, it's time to subscribe to the National Business Employment Weekly. Every issue is filled with hundreds of high-salary jobs and new career options, and timely advice that can make the difference between getting that new job or not. Do you know the top 10 peeves of interviewers, or what it takes to negotiate for a better salary, or how to write a resume that will grab an employer's attention? That's the kind of timely advice you'll find in every issue to help you get the jump on a better job, a new career, or a new business opportunity. The National Business Employment Weekly, published by the Wall Street Journal. Call now and get 12 weekly issues for only $52. You'll also receive free with your paid subscription the essential 270-page guide to creating winning resumes.
Call 800-223-1100. That's 800-223-1100.
CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
All right, we're back. 1-800-293-5366. 1-800-293-5366. Or in the Phoenix area, 230-2755. We also have Sherry online, WB9SFT, the editor. Is that correct? How you doing, Sherry?
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Pretty good. I've got that. You were first licensed in 1975, only a couple years after Gene, and been very involved in club activities in the past, and even an ARRL assistant director, an affiliated club coordinator for Illinois, and in 1990 elected to the position of Illinois section manager, which you had for 4 years. So that's kind of neat. So you're a well-rounded amateur radio couple.
Well, we like to think that, anyway.
So, okay. So now that you're going in competition to the to QST magazine, have they given you a hard time at all?
No, not at all. And we don't look that we're in competition with QST. We are actually an amateur radio magazine, but we are more geared to the amateur radio operator that's also a computer user. And QST tries to be more in amateur radio subjects as far as, DXing and that type of thing, antenna propagation and so forth. And we're not going to get into that, so we don't really look that we're competing with QST.
But, looking at your first issue, you do have quite a few names that I'm familiar with and that have written for the other publications. So there is some overlap.
Yeah, there is some overlap, and there will be since we are an amateur radio magazine.
Correct. And I understand the comment earlier, Gene, as far as hard to get sponsors. It seems that this industry likes to think small. I hate to say that, but I think that they do, and they don't do promotion that would open up the hobby to more people. It's kind of strange that it's a hobby that advertises not to get more people in, but actually just to continue to advertise to the current members.
Yeah, that's true. And one thing with starting the magazine when we did, the business in amateur radio is down a little bit.
Not a little bit, a lot of bit.
Okay, a lot of bit. I was going to make it soft. But
I'm not paid to be nice, No, sorry, go ahead. I'm not paid at all, come to think of it. Go ahead.
But a lot of that is because of the low sunspot cycle. And I think the other part of it is, very similar to the industry that I'm in for my full-time job, the people are working. And when they're working 8-10 hours a day, when they get home, they don't, they veg out in front of the TV sometimes instead of going playing with their hobby. But when unemployment is higher, people need something to do with to fill up that time. Now, I'm not saying that I want more unemployment. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But
I didn't think you were going there. But
but it's very true with my full-time job, because my full-time job, the people have to go to the bars to play the electronic dart game.
Mm-hmm.
And our business is down. And I can look back now, since I've been with the company since 1984, I can see that when times are good as far as unemployment, that, when it's good, our business is not as good, and vice versa. And I think, to some degree, the same can be said of the amateur radio industry.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never heard that argument. I'm not suggesting you're wrong. It's very interesting. No one's ever brought that up as why the market and everything is down. Now, the sunspot cycle, that's a familiar argument. Now, one argument that I hear on a consistent basis, and I do part-time basis, work at a amateur radio establishment locally, and one thing I hear from lots of people is, well, the reason that sales are so far down is because prices are so expensive. If only prices were lower. The prices are so high, no one can afford to be in amateur radio. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never heard such a ridiculous statement from people as that. I mean,
I agree, because and if they are up a little bit, they're not going to go down.
Okay. Wait, I've got to take a time out for station identification.
Okay.
And we'll be right back to Ham Radio and more, so don't go away. 1-800-293-5366. Open lines. Come on in and give us a call. Okay, we're back. Now everybody knows who they're listening to. And this is Ham Radio and More, and I'm Lon Winkler, KB7LPW. We're talking today to Gene and Sherry Harlan of Cyber Ham Magazine, a new magazine publication that actually incorporates amateur radio with computers. Now, back to the pricing, I mean, it is so ridiculous because 5 years ago, 6 years ago, if you wanted to go out and buy a 2-meter HT, it cost you over $600.
Oh, yeah. And today, I mean, you can get them for, you know, $200.
You can get a dual band for $299.
Sure.
I mean, and a 2-meter for $155, $165. It's just crazy. And where, how many years ago, could you imagine how much it would cost to purchase an HF rig that would have all, you know, from 10 to 160, and then would also have 6 meters and 2 meters in it?
Mm-hmm.
To have all those radios would cost you more, what, $2,000, $3,000?
Yeah.
And now you can get it for less than $1,200.
And as you know, one of my other interests is slow scan TV, and I'm looking at a loaner unit here of a robot, which used to run, what, $1,295?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get into slow scan for $230, $240, $99, free.
Yes.
You know.
The same with fast scan TV. Even that, the prices have come down drastically. I mean, you can buy ready-made fast scan stuff very inexpensively. So, you know, and be on the air. So, and Packet, I remember when Packet first came out, the TNCs were so expensive. Now, if you just want to get on Packet, you know, for less than $80, you can have a TNC.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can't see where people can argue about prices. I think that the internet and computers has a lot to do with it, and I do believe that we need to incorporate the two. And I think there should be a digital license.
That's very interesting, because I think that would be, you know, very good idea. As a matter of fact, I noticed on your email you've got something going there, evidently.
Yeah, well, it's been around for a while. The written only general, yes. People who listen to this show and who know me at all know that I'm definitely anti-code requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I emphasize that. That's another thing I can get out of the soapbox. But people, as soon as they hear that, they think I'm for getting rid of Morse code. I'm not for getting rid of it. I even use it in my music on rejoiners and stuff on my show here. I'm just against the requirement.
One of our authors would probably disagree with you.
Well, I've had her on, Nancy Cott, many times. She's been on this show probably 4 or 5 times.
I know.
And she's great to have on from Fists.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know what? There should be a society for the preservation of the code requirement, and there should also be, like there is, Oracle in New Zealand, a group who's against it, and I've had shows against the requirement. You also have somebody writing, Bill Pasternak, who was on this show just last week,
mm-hmm.
and I would say he would be an opponent of Nancy Cott.
Oh, yeah?
So he would be against having the requirement, but there should definitely be a digital license.
Yeah.
I can't conceive of needing to have CW requirement before knowledge of CW before I can use slow scan on HF.
Right.
Doesn't.
No, I tend to agree with you that there needs to be probably because I had to work so hard and Sherry had to work.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back real fast.
Okay.
I didn't work hard.
If you're just joining us, this is Ham Radio and More. I'm Lon Winkler, KB7LPW. today, my guests are Sherry Harlan and Gene Harlan, both from Cyberham Magazine. And we're talking about, we're talking about computers, but we're also talking about digital modes, because the digital modes basically are utilized with a computer and kind of need to, in my opinion, get rid of the code requirements so that we could use the digital modes on the HF bands. Now, you were saying before we left that you guys worked hard to get your Morse code. Was that where you were going?
I was going to say that I did. Uh-huh. Actually, it came very easily for Sherry.
She must be good in music.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, people disagree with me, but I say that people who are good, have good voices, are good in music, play an instrument, etc., and pick it up real easy, find that learning the code is real easy.
Well, I'm into music, and it wasn't easy for me.
Okay.
My tuba didn't help.
Well, a tuba. Is that music? Yeah, that is. But still, just because, even if it was difficult for you, and even if you did spend a lot of time, or even if it was easy for Sherry and she didn't have to spend a lot of time, that's still no reason, because you did it, that it should still be a requirement.
No, and I agree.
But Sherry doesn't agree.
To a certain extent, I do. I'm one of these people that I'm not just because I did it. I feel that there is a place for the code. However, when they opened the tech license to no code, I thought that was great, and I agree with it. There are a lot of people that don't and will not agree with me in that one, but those people are amateur radio operators. As well, they're not just no coders. They are amateur radio operators. They have a license, and I think that's great. But there is a place for code.
Well, sure, but not as a requirement. Okay. Anyway, let's get off of that, because we'll be talking about that for the next 5 hours. Let's talk about your magazine more, and let's talk about some of the people that you have writing for your magazine. Give me some lowdown on that.
Okay. Well, we've got several people that have written for magazines before, and we've got some that are new people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people would be like for APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System. Bob Bruniger, WB4APR, is writing for us.
In fact, he's the inventor of that, APRS. And that's one of the things, one of the programs I would say that's keeping packet even alive today, because it's just, you know, I saw that great surge in like 92, 91, 92, 93, 94, and then it's plummeted since then.
Yeah, and it's APRS is it's actually so exciting. Issue number 2 that you haven't seen, because we just got it back from the printer,
mm-hmm.
Has an article that he wrote about how to find jammers using APRS and any radio. And that means that really you only need the APRS program running, and you can talk to other stations and get signal reports and then document them on your APRS screen. You're not really using, you know, the mode itself,
mm-hmm.
To do it. And he showed examples. We were at the National Convention in Peoria, Illinois, and he gave a speech there, which Sherry watched the booth, and I had time to get out and listen to him. And it was very interesting, because that was basically his presentation there on how to find jammers using APRS. And really only the station that he is documenting needs to have that program running.
So there's the perfect example of where, again, computers are a necessary part of something to find some of the problem people.
Absolutely, yeah. And he does a good job of writing. One thing that I was very surprised is that it was not hard for us to find enough material to fill a magazine. And while we are limiting it to 32 pages at the present time until we get just a few more advertisers, we have had more than enough articles come in, and I've had to do some trimming. mm-hmm. you know, to keep the thing in there.
Well, you know, any time that there is an opportunity to write, people want to, and you're giving a vehicle for them to express their viewpoints and to push their particular mode, like APRS or whatever it is, and I think you'll always be able to find people who are eager and excited to pass on the knowledge to others. We got to take another break. When we come back, we'll discuss this more and find out about a few other people like Ronnie Cohn and Bill Pasternak, Bill Parker, and some others, and even we can even talk about Nancy Cott. This is Ham Radio and More, and we'll be right back. Does EDCO have a deal for you? Electronic Distributors in Virginia sure does. Here it is. From AOR, it's the new AR2700. It's only $209.95. Now listen to what it does. This scanner will receive from 500 kilohertz all the way up to 1300 megahertz. It has tremendous features. AM, NFM, WFM. It has tremendous programmable step sizes. It has a wide variety of search and scan facilities, auto mode tuning, interval timers, pause timers, delay timers. It does so many things, and it's available for a mere $209.95 from participating dealers such as Ham Radio Outlet, or Universal Radio, or R&L Electronics, or Tucker Electronics, and there's others. Or you can give them a call if you'd like at their 800 number. That's EDCO, products from around the world. At 1-800-344-0397. That's 1-800-344-0397. Mention Ham Radio and More. They have tremendous products. The AR2700, get it now.
Every new ham needs a personal tutor.
The MFJ-411 Personal Pocket Size Morse Code Tutor will help you learn Morse code quickly and precisely. You can take it anywhere. It'll fit in your shirt pocket, take it with you in your car on an airplane. It's got an earphone jack for private use. No more cassettes, books, and computer discs. QST Magazine says the MFJ-411 is the clear choice for beginners. It's based on the ARRL method. Unlike code tapes, you'll never memorize it because the code sessions are random. You can replay it to check yourself. The MFJ-411 has speed adjustment from 5 to 60 words per minute, a 9-volt battery or 12-volt power supply selection, letters, numbers, random words, and QSOs, also learned by the famous Farnsworth method.
Your own personal Morse code tutor can be yours for the low retail price of $79.95.
Call 1-800-647-1800 for a catalog and dealer nearest you. That's 1-800-647-1800. MFJ Enterprises, the world leader in ham radio accessories, 1-800-647-1800. So have you tried Amateur Radio Trader yet? The Ham Radio Marketplace magazine? That's right, it comes out twice a month, and if you want to sell a product, it's the place to put your ad. The only problem you might have is that you're going to run an ad and you're going to get so many responses, you're going to sell your product so fast, you're just not going to know what's happening. I mean, it really works. All you have to do is call 1-800-774-2623 or 1-800-77-HAM-AD. That's a good number, 1-800-77-HAM-AD. And you can place your ad right there, right over the telephone. You can also fax it if you want. They have a 1-800-FAX number for 1-800-423-9030. It's a tremendous magazine loaded with all kinds of products. You can get a subscription if you want, and all you have to do is give them a call. Give them a call, 1-800-774-2623. Mention Ham Radio and More, of course, when you give them a call. They also got ads from all the major manufacturers, so you can see what's new. Give them a call, 1-800-774-2623. 1-800-774-2623.
CQCQ, this is Ham Radio and More.
All right, we're back to Ham Radio and More. We're talking about Cyber Ham Magazine, and 1-800-293-5366 is our phone number, or 230-2755 in Phoenix, and we do have a couple of subscriptions to the next couple of callers if you want to give us a call right now before the end of the hour, and we'll get you a subscription to Cyber Ham Magazine. And I'll tell you that at the local store, they had, I don't know how many copies they had of it, but when I was there Saturday, there were only, I think, two left in the store, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll have to see if we can up those copies.
So that's not too bad.
That's good.
You're selling some there. Okay, tell us a little more about some of the other people that you have writing.
Okay, well, Bill Pasternak, of course, WA6ITF, had sent us in an article. He didn't send us anything for the second issue yet, but he is, you know, very well versed in amateur radio and does writing for. You're going to have to help me on that.
Well, it's Mr. Newsline is who he is.
Yeah, that's right.
And in fact, last week was his 1,000th show.
Is that right?
1,000. Well, not so much show, I guess, but 1,000th newscast in a row. And we celebrated it. It was kind of interesting in that we played some of his old tapes from 77, 78, 79.
Oh, wow.
And what's ironic is that a lot of the same things we played are exactly the problems today. There was a no-code proposal.
Mm-hmm.
There was a complaint about repeater coordination. Is the ARRL doing enough for amateur radio?
Oh, yeah.
It was all the normal stuff that we still hear today.
I believe it.
So it was like it was still 1978. It was kind of amazing. Okay, keep going.
Okay, and then another one we have, well, at least we had for the first issue, is Ed Mitchell, KF7ZY. He did ham radio on the Internet, and he has got a fantastic magazine himself on the Internet.
That's the Ham Radio Online program or whatever?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that is fabulous. He does a wonderful job there, and he did a very good job on the article that he wrote. In the newest issue, that has been taken over by Don Brown, KQ4YM, and he does Southwest Florida Online. And he wrote a very interesting article for the November-December issue, and I'm sure he will do very well on that as well. Ed just got a little overwhelmed at his real job.
A lot of people don't realize this is all done as fun. Now, not you. I mean, you would like to probably make a dollar or two on CyberHam.
So far, it's fun.
I understand. Believe me.
It will be for some time, I'm sure. Nancy Cott, we've talked about her, WZ8C. And she writes about, you know, ham radio on CompuServe, which she is one of the people on CompuServe that takes care of the hamnet area. So she is very familiar with the CompuServe end of amateur radio. And, of course, as you mentioned, she's very much into CW. Or did I mention that? I'm not sure.
Well, I think we both did. yes, definitely. And then you've got Bill Parker, who is heavily into ATV.
Right, and he wrote an article on about what is cyber fraud, and for the first issue, we've got Gene Melton, AK9N, who is just getting started into Linux, which is very similar to a Unix operating system on the computer. And he is writing an article about, you know, how to get started using that, because there's a lot of differences in working in a DOS mode or Windows mode, as most of us do.
Yeah, I'm not familiar too much at all. Well, I'm not familiar at all with Linux.
Well, it's just another, you know, if you think about, if you're down at the DOS level, it's another system just like that.
Okay, and I imagine it has a lot of advantages over DOS, where you don't have memory problems or things?
It's a lot more different commands and more flexibility. And before Windows 95 came out, for example, they had the ability to use longer file names and so forth, you know. A lot of the flexibility that's put into Windows 95, some of that was already there with Unix and Linux.
I sure like the longer file names on Windows 95. I mean, I can't tell you how many word processing sheets I had that said Ham Radio and More, or HR and M, and I had to guess which one was which, you know.
Right.
Now I can name them. It makes a lot more sense.
Right, yeah. I haven't, except for one computer at work, I haven't upgraded to Windows 95 myself yet, but I know I'm going to have to in the future. I mean, it's just the way it's going.
Okay, what kind of future plans do you have for your magazine? Are you going to be planning to be on the internet? What do you have for a goal? Or,
well, we've got some of the other articles. We would like to get into some more construction articles. As a matter of fact, I have some people working on some articles that would be, you know, hooking the electronics up to a computer. Maybe it's going to be to control a repeater. Maybe it's going to be, to control a ham radio. We want some programming articles in the future that might tell or explain how to do the programming between the computer and the amateur radio, because there's some really neat programs out there already. And if we can show a few more people have tutorials on how to do that to get more people into doing the programming and so forth and providing the interfaces. A lot more shareware programs will come about, and I'm sure a lot more commercial programs where, you know, somebody tries to make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because...
No, there isn't.
If somebody doesn't make a dollar off of it, it would... get very stagnant very quickly.
It would also be difficult to buy new merchandise, new ham gear, if there was nobody out there who owned a ham gear store.
Right, absolutely.
People who look down on commercial ventures in amateur radio, I think are, again, kidding themselves.
Sure. I've had somebody over the air make a comment, why would I buy your slow scan program for $99.95 when I can get it for free using one of the other, you know, JV Fax or whatever. And I have no problem. If somebody wants to use JV Fax and make the little interface, it works very well. But there are enough people that like the concept of using the Sound Blaster board. And how long is the person that writes JV Fax going to be continuing if he doesn't make anything? If somebody doesn't pay the shareware fees.
Mm-hmm. Not for very long, because people still do want to make some money and get rewarded for the work that they put in.
Sure.
We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we'll find out how to get a subscription, how to order it, how much it costs, and a little bit more. 1-800-293-5366. We'll be right back.
In radio's 75-year history, there were many great radio acts. Ed Beeman's unmemorable Hand Shadows of the Airwaves was not one of them. Nor was Raymond P. Hamill, radio escape artist, one of radio's outstanding shows. That's why you won't find photos of any of these shows in Blast from the Past, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years by B. Eric Rhodes. Nor will you find Sidney Feldscher in his long-forgotten Radio Mime Hour. What you will find in radio's first 75 years is over 900 rare photos of radio greats, from Fanny Bryce to Jack Benny to Howard Stern. This beautiful coffee table book will bring back fond memories, but not of this man, radio's first and last magician, the amazing Morty.
And now I will saw my assistant, Francine, in half.
Ow!
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500, $39.99 plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
Have you ever shaken someone's hand and gotten their name, and 10 seconds later the name is forgotten? Well, forgetting someone's name is embarrassing, and in business, it costs you money. This is Kevin Trudeau, founder of the American Memory Institute, the world's largest memory training school. Having an instant recall memory, a photographic memory, is what the Mega Memory Home Study course is all about. I've pioneered the most advanced breakthrough in memory improvement technology in Mega Memory. Within just a few short hours, you'll increase your own memory 500% or more, guaranteed. You'll remember names and faces, even hundreds at a time, and instantly recall virtually everything you see, read, hear, or even think about. Students get straight A's with less study time. See why over 2 million people have already benefited from the Mega Memory Home Study Course. Now, it's your turn.
Call 1-800-799-MEGA. That's 1-800-799-MEGA and improve your memory today. Start with this number, 1-800-799-MEGA.
Hi, Art.
Hi, Fran. Say, be a good neighbor and let me check your consumer reports. There's a sale on camcorders.
Oh, but you already borrowed that issue for the stuff on stereos.
Uh-oh, I gave it to Ralph for the report on computer games.
Oh, but I need it back. That's the issue on flight crew bags.
No problem. I'll just call Ralph.
No. I have a better idea. Call Consumer Reports. Order a year subscription. You'll get 12 issues of Consumer Reports magazine, plus 2 free books with your payment, a handy reference on how to clean practically anything, and the 1996 buying guide. And you'll get the 1997 buying guide when it's published.
How much is all that?
Only $24. A $66 value for just $24. That's a fraction of what I saved on my TV and VCR.
To order Consumer Reports, call 800-358-8888. That's 800-358-8888. Get a year's subscription plus 2 free books and the 1997 buying guide, a $66 value for just $24. Call 800-358-8888.
CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7, LPW.
Okay, we're back. Gene, do you think that in upcoming magazines you might tackle some of these issues concerning amateur radio and computers?
Well, it's very possible, that they will get discussed because... I think the subject is there.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think that you need to broach it and you need to, I think, solicit, and I don't have the answer, but to solicit from people who are smarter than me how to put the two together so that we can use computers to generate more interest in amateur radio, to get them to see all the things that are available to do with amateur radio.
Oh, yeah, and it just makes the hobby that much more fun, actually.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that, using the two, of course, I guess I'm quite a computer person anyway, but, so there are people, of course, that haven't gotten into computers, but those, the younger people getting into amateur radio are, like you said, they're already going to be exposed to computers, so they're going to be thinking along those lines anyway.
Well, you look at the heavy contesters today, I don't see any of them using straight keys. They're most of them have a computer keyer that they're just pushing a button and it sends out their CQ and your 5-9 in Burundi.
Sure, and even more than that, the ones on phone probably pushing a button and let the sound blaster do the speaking.
Oh, well, I don't know. Are they progressed to that already?
Yes, they have. I've seen it for sale at HamFest.
Oh, man. Well, that's probably an argument to keep CW. They'll say it's getting too easy to use to talk on the radio.
Right, you don't even have to.
Right.
That's your computer talk.
All right, for people out there who want to get in touch with you, either to submit an article or to argue and tell you that computers are the boon of mankind and need to be destroyed, or who want to order a subscription or see a copy or whatever, how do they get in touch with you? What do you recommend?
Very good.
Well, we have an 800 number. It's 800-557-9469. And that's 24 hours a day. However, we prefer not having phone calls at 2:30 in the morning.
Which we get from the other side of the world.
Yes. Australia seems to forget sometimes the time difference.
Well, and we are heard on the tape-delayed shortwave. They do hear us in parts of Australia and definitely in New Zealand.
That's good, because we just told them that we do sleep.
We do sleep.
We love them, though.
Well, they're nice there, especially Oracle in New Zealand, since they're, you know, opposing the requirement of CW. 1-800-557-9469. 1-800-557-9469. Also, if they want to send you email, want to give me an email message?
Okay.
Mail address, I mean. I'm sorry.
Email address is gharlan@chriscris.com.
Okay, that's gharlan, gharlan, at chriscris.com. And again, the order number, or to find out some more information, 1-800-557-9469. Also, if you want to probably advertise in Cyberham, they wouldn't be opposed to that either.
We even have a special going on right now. Go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That's it, actually. I want to thank you guys for being part of the show today, and wish you much success.
Thank you very much for having us.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Okay, bye-bye. Next week, we're going to have MFJ Enterprises. Until then, 73, we're QRT.
CQ, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the show that specializes in the great service that amateur...
For our second hour of Ham Radio and More, I like that popcorn music. And Raleigh did a nice job on his organ playing it at the banquet last week at the Southwestern Division Convention. Well, I finally have woken up since last weekend. I was a little tired, exhausted, actually, from the convention. And that went pretty well. In fact, from what I have heard, and I've talked to many people who were there, they thoroughly enjoyed it. They said it was one of the best Southwestern Division conventions they've ever been to, that it was run well, that the programs were super. And, I think that's good. So, our phone number this hour, of course, is 230-2755, 230-2755. We're here to discuss whatever you want to talk about with amateur radio. I'm surprised that none of you called in the last hour to get a free subscription to CyberHam. You know, they were there, they were available, and you didn't call in. Now, being that we're not currently live on the shortwave portion, you guys need to call in more during that hour, so you could have got those free subscriptions. Now, look at that. I can't imagine ham radio operators not taking up the free subscriptions. Well, of course, you might have been watching the Cardinals play football. That might be the big thing. Either that or, of course, the World Wrestling Federation has some In Your House event this evening, so maybe that's what you guys were doing. Anyway, 230-2755, 230-2755. If you want to discuss anything about the convention last week, please do so. I'd be interested, you know, if you have an argument to the reason that amateur radio sales are down. And I've heard down to a tune of 40% from certain people, to the tune that the Oklahoma.com store in Oklahoma City is no longer there. They were taken over by Tucker Electronics. And, of course, Tucker was taken over just last week by Ham Radio Outlet. So there is no more Tucker. Now, HRO, Ham Radio Outlet, does sell the Tucker equipment, so if you are looking for, or if you did buy from Tucker and you need their equipment, it's certainly still available. But obviously that it kind of indicates that when you see a reshuffling like that, and other companies have gone out of business in the ham radio business in the last year or two, I wonder if you have a reason why sales are down. Is Gene correct, like he said in the first hour, that sales are down because unemployment is down? Maybe it's true. Maybe you believe that. Is it that we have such a tremendous economy now It's really bustling under the current leadership, and et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, since it's bustling all over the country and unemployment is way, way down, that's why people are not buying ham radio equipment. I always thought that if people weren't working, or if they were working, I mean, they had more money to spend, then they might be buying more amateur radio equipment, but maybe I have it reversed. What do you think might be a reason as to why amateur radio sales are down? Do you really think that high prices are keeping sales down? Is that possibly the reason? I don't know. I find that hard to believe. When I go into the store and I see that there's a handy talkie, a dual band for $299 by one of the major companies. A major company has a 440 HT out there, a real small one, for less than $200, and they have a 2 meter for less than $200. Is that high pricing? I don't think so. I remember a CB set. If you wanted to get into 11 meters and you wanted a 40-channel, just AM 40-channel CB set, it was costing you $85. And then if you wanted a good one like the Cobra 148, that was going to cost you $200. $200, and it was just a CB set with sideband. Well, now you can buy a dual-band radio for 2 meters and 440 and pay less than that. Prices can't be higher. I just don't think that could possibly be an explanation, but maybe some of you believe that is the case. I'd certainly like to know why you think sales are down. Now, the fact is, and I just heard this on Newsline, or did I see? I saw it on Newsline. No, in fact, I have it, and I can get to reading that. The new ARRL letter, I believe, has that in it, that there were like 500, let me see, I have that information, let me get it. This is the current issue of it. Where is it? Oh, yes. For the month of September 1996, ham radio operators 21 years of age and younger increased by 538 over August. So that means 538 new young hams came into the hobby. Now, if we're increasing in the number of hams, how come sales are down? Is it the sunspots? Is it the sunspots? Is that the reason? Because sunspots are down, that's why sales are down? Fred, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Len?
Yes.
I think I've got it right. I've been listening to you for about an hour.
Okay.
So, and in fact, I didn't have the number to call for those people from computer combination ham radio.
Cyberham? You want their 1-800 number? Is it what you want? Or
no.
Oh, you wanted to...
I didn't have the local number because I'm calling from Scottsdale, so I had the... Anyway, my point was I think they have a good idea. But I'd like to answer your question that you've been talking about for the last 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
Okay.
And the last hour, too. I'll give you my impression of what the problem is. You ever hear of modern monitoring times?
Sure, Bob Grove's publication.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I subscribed to that thing for years, and I particularly have been a shortwave fan, but not a ham radio talking fan so much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in the old days, the equipment was so darn expensive for being a ham radio. But here's what I think is the problem. First of all, people are short on time, okay? They're busy. The second thing is, and there's so much other competing stuff to do with your time, that it's, and so much, many other things that are asking for your money. And I think the problem is, and I'm an example, I'm sitting here surrounded by computer stuff. What am I am doing? If I'm loading my computer with new software.
You're on the internet, I take it?
No.
No?
No, because I don't like to be disturbed.
Oh.
But my point is I have enough to do without being on the internet. If I was on the internet, you've heard of Prodigy, of course.
Sure.
I was on Prodigy, and I wasted so darn much time, you know, on that gadget that I actually stopped it. People don't have the time. And there's competing demands for their money. Computer stuff, it's obsolete in 6 months or a year.
It's just obsolete as soon as you take it out of the store.
Well, I'm talking about it's obsolete to the point that a lot of the stuff, you can't even use the software because now it only works with Windows.
True.
Or it only works with the Power Mac. And I think what's happening is that people are so gung-ho on getting themselves up to speed on the computer, at least trying to stay up to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's diverting their attention away from ham radio, which is it's a very old hobby compared with the computer, which I guess it really got popular in 1982, 83 with the Commodore 64. That is not an old hobby.
Oh, no. It's more than a hobby.
Pardon me?
It's much more than a hobby, computers.
Yeah. But it was started out as a hobby, and now it's, as you say, much more. It's almost indispensable. I'm like a fossil without the Internet, as you probably are laughing at me.
Well, no. I'm not laughing because I have this. My father, I have this running argument. I tell him, you should get a computer. His response is, what would I do with a computer? I said, well, first of all, it would utilize your brain and make you think. You love crossword puzzles. There are so many crossword puzzle programs that could keep you entertained. You can have 1,000 crossword puzzles on just one particular subject matter. I mean, you can go on the Internet and grab I don't know how many different crossword puzzles. You can do crossword puzzles with other people and try to solve them together. There's so much to do. And his response, well, I'm too old to learn how to use a computer.
Well, I don't think that's as much. That's a problem for somebody. I hate to ask your father.
Well, he's older. He's in his 80s.
Okay,
but
so
I don't care if he was in his 90s. It would keep him young.
Yeah, well, I'm 70.
Well, you're a spring chicken.
I've got computers all around me. There are some people that just don't want to learn anything. They get to the point they don't want, you know, they want to play golf or something.
Right.
Maybe your dad likes to play golf, or maybe he just doesn't want to get involved. My problem is I don't have enough time in the day. It's not even the money.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough hours in the day. I used to sit for hours listening to shortwave radio, and that's a very narrow segment of...
But the funny part about that, Fred, is that shortwave receiver sales are way up.
Yeah, there's a good reason. The reason is that you can listen to it at night. This time of year, it's not very good, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, and if you're on the East Coast, you get much better reception than you do...
Well, sure.
...out here, But even that has become a problem. The sales are up. The people who buy them don't realize that the BBC is cutting down on their broadcast. Radio Canada International has dropped most of its programming. I mean, what you're getting mostly now, is either Spanish language stations or religious.
Yeah, believe me, you're preaching to the choir now, because of course up until last week we were on WWCR shortwave live, and they have four transmitters, and the fourth their second transmitter has always been just religious programming.
Uh-huh.
When they opened their fourth one, they put all kinds of stuff, and they were able to put us on live.
Yeah.
But recently, just in the last 2 weeks, they sold 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to another religious person. And so he has taken the airwaves, and he's taken all the time that they had on transmitter 4. So now they only have two other transmitters, 1 and 3, and we are on tape delayed there, but not live. So that obviously puts a crimp in us. But you're right, more and more religious stuff.
And less and less of the programs are being funded by the governments, like Radio Canada, which is international, which cut its budget down from, like, I don't know, $27 million to like $4 million, and I don't know if they've even turned it off. You know, they've been talking about it, because I also go to Montreal, Canada.
What about like Voice of America?
Well, I don't know about their budget, but there is a there's a lot of talk about the BBC is going to cut down its broadcast, which the BBC is the largest, or was the largest. Mm-hmm. They're going to cut theirs down, and I think people are going to find out, and I have nothing against religious broadcasters, but people buy this stuff because they want to hear what somebody says in France, the news, Deutsche Welle, which is the German national station. You know, those are the things I think people buy them for, as well as people who may want to pick up the voice of the Andes or whatever it is, the religious.
Well, when I was growing up, and I'm not in your age group, but when I was growing up in the 60s, I purchased a shortwave receiver, and I wanted to hear Radio Moscow. I thought that was the neatest thing.
I think you still can, but I don't listen to it quite as much as I did.
Well, now it's not going to be the same thing. Before, you know, it was kind of fun to listen to the communist propaganda.
I listened to Radio Budapest the night that the Russians came in.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the distress call. It was surely by accident, but that was in 1956 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we have other. In those days, you didn't have the international television. You didn't have the satellites. You got. My point is, Len, there's so darn much stuff competing for your time as well as your money. I don't say that the products are not fairly priced. It's that. I mean, you only have so many hours in a day. There's disposable income, but people don't talk about disposable time, and I think that's one of the problems that we have. Nobody uses that expression. It's just mine. But they always talk about disposable income.
Right.
Well, there is also something about, I call disposable time. We only have so many hours in the day. Assuming you're not even, you know, then your wife has taken some of those if you're married.
Of course.
Or your kids. Now, I think that's the biggest problem with shortwave. The second one, it doesn't have the sex appeal that it had years ago, when it didn't have as many competitors.
Mm-hmm.
For people's time. And I'm not talking not only shortwave, I'm talking about the ham radio and that sort of thing.
Now I know you're not, I don't know, were you once a licensed amateur?
Years and years
okay.
ago. And I must confess, I was enthralled by the shortwave radio listening and that sort of thing, because I was overseas in the service, and
I'm just curious if you believe that any of the barriers to getting into amateur radio, like learning Morse code, is a hindrance in today's day.
Well, when I had a license, that was a barrier, and it was a pain in the neck, and I thought it was a waste of time, and that was 40 years ago.
And you thought it was a waste of time then.
Then I thought it was ridiculous that they would have this requirement, which they did at that time, really had it, you know. You couldn't get any kind of a license unless you learned all this junk. But they used to teach it in school, believe it or not. When I went to school, they had a little, Western
right.
Union, click, 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 click.
Right.
So, I mean, but the world seems to me, Len,
has changed.
Look, we've passed that stage. I mean, I think a fellow ought to learn how to use a computer and that sort of thing before he has to memorize
the Morse code.
The Morse code. You know, I couldn't even think of Samuel B. Morse's name there for a minute.
I got to take a break, Fred.
Okay, well, nice talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Those are some ideas.
You gave me a lot of good ideas. I appreciate
okay.
it. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a break. We got lines available at 230-2755, 230-2755. We invite your participation. What do you think of Fred's ideas? I think they sound valid, actually. We'll get right back to you when we come back to Ham Radio and more.
Once upon a time, in a galaxy not so far away, in a heavily populated desert, people were looking for a way to make new home shopping more hospitable.
You know, honey, I don't know if I'm in the mood to look at new home models. The price of gas, all that driving
around.
Oh,
Luke, we really do need more space. The kids are getting older.
I know. There just has to be a better way.
Use the facts, Luke. Use the facts.
What was that?
Of course! Why didn't I think of that earlier?
Think of what?
New Home Concepts, the company that helps people find new homes, with mall stores all over the valley. They have a new service where you can call 258-HOME,
mm-hmm.
and using your telephone keypad, you begin shopping for a new home over the phone.
Over the phone?
Yeah. Info we need, like price, square footage, number of bedrooms, area of town, and a lot more. They'll fax us the info for free. We'll be prepared before we start the search.
Let's call. What's that number again?
It's 258-HOME. That's 258-HOME.
Now, do that trick with your voice again.
It's all about money, isn't it? Sure, today the stock market continues to soar, but what are the investment strategies of tomorrow? Now, KFNN once again presents the premier event to provide answers. It's Financial Fest 96, coming to the Sunburst Resort in Scottsdale, Saturday, November 23rd, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Meet with some of the leading financial experts in the country, attend seminars, and see the Don McDonald Show. It's a full day of information and opportunities for smart investing, and admission is absolutely free. Over 50 companies and a special appearance by Louis Navalier. Plus, register to win an 8-day trip to the island of Maui, courtesy of Sunbird Vacations, offering non-stop flights to Honolulu and Maui. It's all under one roof, and it's all free. Financial Fest 96, Saturday, November 23rd, 8 to 5 at the Sunburst Resort, 4925 North Scottsdale Road, presented exclusively by Financial News Radio, 1510 AM, KFNN.
Money news you can use. Smart Money with the Dolans, weekday afternoons at 1 on KFNN.
Well, are you in the market for some custom wood shutters? Furniture for your windows? You should be. Well, you're not, you should be, but if you are, Wallpaper World Blind Mania is the place to go. Been busy with shutters recently. Know that the factory is cranking them out as fast as they can, but it's still taking about 8 weeks to get because they're just busy. Wallpaper World Blind Mania, which makes them here locally. That's right. It's made by them locally. Okay, it's not something that they're going to order from somebody out in Podunk or wherever. I mean, it's made right here near the airport. And it's measured and installed in your home at a tremendously low price for this type of product. You just have to understand that custom wood shutters is a lifetime investment. It's made out of solid wood. Forget about the vinyl and the plastic and all that. I mean, we're talking about real wood, the good stuff. And they'll finish it in any way that you want, from painting it to staining it to hand oiling it, smooth or sandblasted, whatever you want. It's all done professionally. And arches, arches are the specialty. So if you have some real wild shapes, that can be done too. Why don't you give them a call? Wallpaper World Blind Mania, 678-1234. That's 678-1234. What an easy number to remember. 678-1234. Wallpaper World Blind Mania for custom wood shutters. Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More. Our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755. Got a couple of lines available. And we can talk about the conditions in the economy. We can talk about the industry, amateur radio industry. If you're listening for the first time or you've listened but want to know how to become a ham, we can go over that. I'll tell you, you can never go over that too many times. How to become a ham radio operator. We can go over the Southwestern Division Convention that took place last week. What can be done to attract more people? In fact, I have a comment about that. I'll take a call first, but I have a comment about the Southwestern Division Convention in regards to next year's Southwestern Division Convention. Hello, Rich and Tempe. How you doing?
Okay, and you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Well, I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome. We like first-time callers.
And I'm a first-time caller because it's only been the last couple months or so that I casually listened to your show. even though I'm sort of like a distant cousin, because my interest has been growing with shortwave.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the previous caller as far as the time availability for people, because I don't even have enough time to listen to shortwave as much as what I would like. And the reason why I assume, like you mentioned earlier, there's more shortwave radios being sold as far as ratio than ham and such.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I love shortwave because of the news from all those different countries, whether Canada, Radio Deutschewelle, BBC, etc., etc., because that is where you really get the true news, because in this country it is such filtered, it's ridiculous. I mean, the public is not getting the true news, and I assume there's more people out there like me that are just starving to find out what is going on. And because of the changes in not only network news and newspapers and stuff like that, it's getting more and more consolidated, and we really don't get the news, and especially here in the Valley of the Sun.
Well, so you're basically referring to what you would call, and I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily, but what you would call the slant that the local and national media puts on what goes on in the news here.
Oh, by far, mm-hmm. by far. I mean, it's just fascinating, and I only get a chance like Saturday nights, and I picked up Voice of Russia again at a different location, and it was fascinating listening to that, or, you know, Taiwan, and that's where you really hear the news, and you can even learn about America from the outside sources.
Well, what is Russia saying these days about our presidential race?
Well, they were just talking about what was going on in reference to what Yeltsin did recently and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of low volume, so I missed part of it.
Oh, okay. I was just, you know, I just curious give me an example of something that you've heard recently, let's just say, from any station on shortwave that has told you more of the story, let's say, than NBC or ABC or any of them.
I remember quite a while ago on BBC that I learned in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that there's a law, and what they're doing now, that everybody that is in jail pays their own way. The taxpayers does not pay for the criminals to stay in their jails in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, what if,
and that should be a widespread discussion in this country, and I don't hear it.
What if they don't have the money? I mean, this has nothing to do with the subject, but I'm just curious. What if an inmate doesn't have the money?
Well, I didn't hear that part.
Well, I mean, how many, you know, I would think that many of these, of the prisoners don't have the money to pay for it, but I think that's a great plan. I think Sheriff Arpaio's going to go towards that if he can.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea because it cuts down on us honest people paying, you know, all these local taxes and such when the criminals would pay their own way in jail.
Oh, I agree with you. I think this is tremendous. I think someone should tell the sheriff about that. I had him on about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I was with him at the convention last Saturday. He was at our Southwestern Division Amateur Radio Convention. And I think it makes every bit of sense. Why should we pay to incarcerate? Why shouldn't they pay for themselves?
But it was the point that it was the BBC that brought that out in the airwaves, and why isn't the local media bringing that out to discussion for the policy makers to start a discussion of that to make a change in this mm-hmm. country to that effect?
Well, that's a good question. So shortwave does bring out some of the news items that we don't hear about because of our maybe liberal press.
I think it's a conservative press. Come on.
Really?
Look who owns the Republic Gazette.
Hmm.
That's conservative Dan Quayle. Come on.
Really?
Yes. And the local news, TV news, all that they do is read the Republic and do a story about it. They don't do hardly any investigative work.
They must be doing a lousy job considering Clinton is leading in all the polls by such a humongous amount. They obviously aren't doing a real good job, Rich.
Well, I think it's the opposite because of who they are sponsoring.
Oh, I see.
I'll tell you,
I've heard a lot of people call into a lot of shows. It is a rarity that someone calls in and says that it is a conservative press. You're gonna tell the listeners to this show that the people like Ted Koppel, Walter Cronkite, and the like are all conservatives.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it just shows that everybody sees things different. I guess that's why I can watch a boxing match and the guy was knocked out, yet and he got up just barely, but they gave the win to the guy because they were watching a different match for some reason. I mean, everybody says that that XYZ won the match, but there's one guy on the card that scored it, and he scored it the total opposite of everybody else. He must have been watching a different match. I don't know what it is. I've never heard anybody ever say that these newscasters are conservative. You're the first one.
Well, they are. Look at the Republic Gazette.
Yeah, but
read
their
editorials. They don't cover...
I see Montini, I haven't ever seen him act conservative. I've yet to see him act conservative.
Yeah, but that, I mean, you got only a little column there.
The only little column on the top page, what do you mean?
Well, it's just a little column.
Oh,
I mean, that's
all. Okay. I don't know if your tongue is actually in your cheek or if you are serious about this, but if you are, I mean, you have a right to your opinion, I suppose.
That's why I don't subscribe to the Republic Gazette.
Yeah, but do you watch NBC or CBS or ABC or Ted Turner or any of these shows? I can't imagine that you would call them conservative in nature.
Well, they are.
Hmm.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. To balance that, going back to shortwave, my best station is Radio for Peace International out of Costa Rica, but unfortunately, it's privately funded, and so there isn't a lot of money for the transmission antennas, and they constantly have problems with hurricanes and bad weather, and it's a very weak station, but that's a really great shortwave.
All right, I got to take a break, but I want to leave on one question. I want to know, would you say that the Ralph Nader's party should have been included in the debates?
Everybody should have.
Okay, I just wanted to know, but if his party should have been included.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so. I was just curious. Thanks, Rich, and keep up the shortwave listening. It's definitely a major part of radio, and don't think that most amateur radio operators don't listen to shortwave, because they do. It's amazing how many do.
Like I said, I'm a distant cousin, so I'm still learning.
Well, we'll keep you as a cousin, and we'll try to get you to become a brother by maybe someday getting a license to actually also talk.
Okay.
All right, Rich. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Ham Radio and More here on KFNN, 1510 AM. Our phone number is 230-2755-230-2755. Lines available. We'll be right back.
Where is the best place to invest? Many experts advise investing in your own backyard. Many firms offer a range of products from stocks and bonds to mutual funds and money management. Sinclair Know here to tell you about a firm that goes a step further. Barry Shino Securities offers a corporate library packed with information on Arizona-based firms and municipalities. Now you have a place to go and a firm that knows what you're looking for. So stop by. Enjoy the relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere. Have a cup of coffee. Do some research, and you'll discover the difference at Barry Shino Securities. Call 996-2900. That's 996-2900. Barry Shino Securities, member in ASD, SIPC. All accounts have SIPC protection. And Barry Shino Securities offers competitive discount commission rates, so more of your money stays in your own backyard. Barry Shino Securities, Arizona's own brokerage firm.
Attention all golfers. Tuesday, October 29th at Tatum Ranch, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation will hold their annual golf classic. A day of golf will be provided, as well as a cold deli buffet lunch prior to tee time and a Mexican buffet during a 19th hole awards reception following golf. They'll also auction off dinners and lunches at restaurants, sports memorabilia, foursomes at local and statewide golf courses, local resort and hotel lodging, as well as vacation packages to Palm Springs, Las Vegas, Cancun, and much more. Meet possible clients and contacts with some of the movers and shakers here in the Valley, as well as help in the fight against the number one genetic killer of children. The list of corporate sponsors include AG Communication Systems, American Airlines, Anderson Consulting, Earnhardt's, Lewis & Roker, Tucker Allen, American Express, ProGuard and Automotive Aftermarket Network, Viasoft, Moore Hackett, and KFNN Radio. Call 224-0068 and sign up your company for a corporate foursome today. Join the team and help us win our fight against the number one genetic killer of children, cystic fibrosis.
For the best economic and monetary advice in the Valley, tune into Hard Money Watch on Sundays at 9 a.m. right here on 1510 a.m. KFNN.
CQ, CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
You know, I heard a lot of people tell me that the reason they didn't go to the Southwestern Division Convention last week was because it cost $15. And if we didn't charge so much, there would have been more people there. So I listened to that. And then I looked at last year's, and also the convention that took place in 1991. And do you know that it was the same $15 that was charged for 3 days? Hasn't changed. And yet if you are an early bird purchaser, it was only $10. Same way with the Southwestern Division Convention we had here in Mesa. So I can't believe that the money should have had anything to do with it. I know that it did, but it's hard to believe. But I looked at the brochure that was passed out by the Riverside Convention Center and Holiday Inn and the group, the Inland Empire Council of Amateur Radio Organizations. That's who's putting on HamCon 77, they're calling it, the Southwestern Division Convention, next year, September 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is going to take place in Riverside, California. At the Riverside Convention Center and the Holiday Inn, which is, like I say, in downtown Riverside. Now, early bird, which means if you would get your registration in before May 31st of 97, I mean, you only have, 7 months? Anyway, it's $10. General registration after the early birds and the pre-registration, general registration is $15. Same exactly as we are. They didn't lower the price to get more people or raise it. It's still the same price. Then I look at their banquet. Their banquet is $25. That's how much ours was. Now, I heard people tell me in the morning that they would not go to the banquet because they would not pay $25 to go to a banquet. Now, okay, I understand people have that philosophy, and it does get expensive. If you have five people or four people in your family, it costs you $120 or $125, I mean. So it does get expensive. However, we had booked 180 people. We ended up with 215. So 215 people, almost 20% of the total people who went to the Hamfest or to the convention also went to the banquet. So I don't think the $25 was obviously too outlandish. We had to put an extra table or two tables in to get all the people in. Now, it's just ironic or strange to me that they're charging the same prices as we charged. I wonder if people are going to complain how expensive it is there, and they're not going to go too. Where can you go for a three-day event for $15? If you go to a Star Trek event, it costs you that $30, $40. You go see a play, it costs you $45 for 2.5 hours. This is $15 for 3 days of entertainment and interest and information. I don't understand. Whatever. I was like a guy that was in the local store on Saturday, and he said that he was in the midst of trying to sell his Japan radio transceiver because he was looking to purchase a new FT-1000. Or he was also looking at the ICOM 775. But, you know, and I said, well, $2,800 or $2,600, whatever it is, $3,600 for the 775, a lot of money. And he goes, listen, you know, I'm a ham radio operator. I spend money. I want what is out there. I want the best I can get, et cetera, et cetera. I said, well, you're unusual. And that's not the normal ham wants to spend a lot of money these days. Anyway. Did you know that that people are trying to get rid of amateur television? Yeah, if any of the ATV group listens to this, they know that, you know, because they take up 5 megahertz of space, you know, when they're going to, of bandwidth, you know, and people think that they're taking up too much space just to put pictures, and that's not really ham radio and all this other nonsense. Well, in the new article of Field Forum from the ARRL, a guy named Tom O'Hara, W6ORG, he wrote an article about ATV and how important it is. Listen to this. ATV is being used more and more by RACES and other emergency service groups for remote damage assessment, as well as by pilot hams just for fun. Excuse me. There are a few special considerations for ATV and aircraft. This gentleman, Tom O'Hara, put one in a helicopter for the Pasadena Police Department to enable them to get a bird's-eye view of the chaotic traffic flow from the New Year's Day Rose Parade to the Rose Bowl way back in 1968. In 1988, he installed an ATV in his own helicopter to demonstrate the feasibility of transmitting pictures of earthquake damage sites back to the Los Angeles County Emergency Operations Center. And today, the L.A. County Sheriff RACES operates ATV in 4 helicopters and many mobile ground units, including 1 portable repeater. There's also over 24 city and county emergency service organizations in Southern California that use mobile and airborne ATV as part of their own emergency communications operations. So, for those of you who think that ATV is just taking up a lot of band space and is just a waste, listen to this. This is not the case. It's a very important part of amateur radio, and it's obviously helping out in emergency communications in Southern California. I received from a couple friends of mine something that a newsletter that, you know, you hear about ADAW here locally, you know, all the clubs that put together ADAW, and you hear about the Squelch Tail, which is of course done for the ARA, Arizona Repeater Association. You also see the Superstition Club's newsletter, and of course, Ray Sumner puts out the West Valley Club. If I'm missing somebody's, please don't yell at me, but those are the ones that most of you see on a continuous basis. But this one was kind of cute. It was put out in August by Julie Wade, KC7FQI, and it's called Coffee Clutch News. We must be brewing something right. It has some very cute caricatures in it, a lot of information about different people involved in the coffee clutch, and it has some Dear Abby stuff, Hamfest happenings, all in all, kind of a really cute newsletter, and one that you probably don't hear about very often that's produced locally. If there's other newsletters, let me know, because people should get involved in that. We had a program this last Thursday, the Thunderbird Amateur Radio Club, and Frank Smith was there, AH0W, and he talked about his recent de-expedition to Midway Island. And it was, I'll tell you, it was an extremely interesting, informative, and well-presented presentation. He had about, I think, close to 200 slides. Sure seemed like it. I mean, there were a lot of pictures. And it's interesting how it all relates to why he went to Midway and why he picked Midway Island. We had Jack Reed on a few weeks back and before the Midway trip, and he talked about going. But we're going to have them back on the second week of December, and we'll talk to Frank and Jack about their trip to Midway. So if you haven't seen or heard about it yet, you'll be very intrigued. It's very interesting. Wait till you hear about all the birds that are there.